Blog Talk Radio. And now, Voices of the True Israelites with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Yahweh. Live Yahweh Radio. Worldwide international radio broadcast is now on the air. Special edition called Thursday Evening. I'll be your host. By name, your seer. Israel of Seed Royal. All right, we're doing a series called Black Kings Who Rule Europe, Freedom to Slavery. From ruling to now, don't you know who they are in America, coming out of Europe. All right, this is part number four. So we're going to bring our elder in, Mr. Tibbs Israel. They're going to tell you all about the broadcast. And then we'll get the young line in to line up the four questions on the table. Not questions, but give a final statement. Then tell about all the extra stations that logged in this broadcast. So his hands going to be full. So we'll get our elder in. He'll tell you all about what the Almighty put on him to tell you about take number four. When you meet the elder with a loud voice on a special edition called Thursday Evening, he said, Elder Mr. Tibbs Israel, Yahweh be just seen right.
And Yahweh bless you, Seer Israel, the Seer Royal. Olu, Yahweh.
All right, how do we got quite a hell on one thing about it? We know the box tail been lit and the curtain air went up, and we know we got a lot of things on the table, but as we come on the network to enlighten the national audience, over 800,000 strong on the international side, so whatever the Almighty has put on you to tell them, take your time there, Elder. You on the clock, come up.
Once again, God bless you, Seer Israel, and thank you for inviting me into tonight's broadcast. Among a cast of hundreds of thousands of listeners that came to hear the righteous words of Yahweh, and as you've always heard me say, that is a good thing. Because when you have those many listeners that want to do the same righteous thing, that means we headed the right direction. Also, to add unto that, you'll probably be hearing me mention a few times. You know, we have some books that we've been studying. Who Am I series by the Incomes, which is a good thing. It touches on some very strong highlights on Black history, the Bible, and different topics that we speak on. One of the things I'd like to say, we are having a special guest, Mr. Lee Cummings himself, which will be coming next month on the 4th. Yep, that's right. Mr. Lee Cummings himself will be at our temple class at 12 p.m., which is a good thing. So I would like to throw that out there. So if anybody interested, stop by. Get a chance to speak to Lee Cummings and also get the word of Yahweh. As we said, this is why we're here, to help guide you through dark times. Bad teaching, Christianity, loud bump the gums for righteous learning. We welcome and thank all of you for attending another live broadcast of Yahweh's Minute that comes to life and opens the offerings with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. First and foremost, about Yahweh's Word, learning how to connect the Bible books, your health, and foods that you should eat and keeping the Sabbath days. All this is done because you have not. And this is the information you came to seek and found it now in the Voices of the True Israelites, tribal bread, open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And those days are Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. having no class on Tuesday, but as I said, we do have a Sabbath class. And the top part of the Sabbath is Friday. That's now time starts at 7:30 to 10:30. The bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. We have a temple class that starts at 12 p.m., and the online class starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until our temple members desire to leave. We also have a website. To use this, open up any search engine and write on that search engine, tribeyada.com. Right under a big lion, you're going to see some choices. One will be tithes and offerings. You'll PayPal and follow those instructions. On any other device, you possibly might see menu. But with this, again, you'll see choices. Still choose the tithes and offerings, and doing so, remember, tells all of us that reads the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse number 8. 7 says, give unto the Yahuwah, the remembrance of the people. Give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength. 8. Give unto the Yahuwah the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come unto his courts. Now, I always remind everyone that when you're joining us, to remember that Yahuwah loves that you're forgiven. And also donations, which we greatly appreciate, that you give according to the Bible scriptures mentioned in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse 30, and once again mentioned in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8, and verse 10 to 9. This is all done to keep this ministry bringing you thus says Yahweh. Also for building the school, a banquet hall, radio station, and land to build a health group, we continue to speak of on this program. I will walk off. Also while there, don't forget to check our calendar. That calendar is there to help keep you, your family, and friends in tune with the feast days, the Bible feast days, that come to us throughout the year. Also, we have a live program. This feature is available during our live broadcast time. To reach that, just type in three words on your search bar, Yahuwah Radio Live. And after you click Enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yahuwah, and click the red live button. As soon as it appears, you'll be waiting for a live online broadcast. We even have two email addresses that the listening members can use. The first is tribeyahuwah@gmail.com. The other is yahuwahisrael@gmail.com. These are for writing your written opinions and questions on a biblical subject answered or related topics. We even have a few numbers you can call with Yahuwah in mind. The first is our live conference room number, which is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This would be our international number, where you can call and leave a message on scripture that you may have questions on, which can be answered by anyone with official answers of Yahuwah's. But also, in saying that, do not call this number trying to teach. I'll have to remind you, you'll hear a discouraging click followed by a dial tone. Also, by calling the same number, you can inquire about our 12 programs via the 12 Tribes of Israel on DVD. Just make sure we get the correct name and the correct address, and you will receive it promptly. On another note, we might ask, please, do not contact us here via email, phone, or text before broadcast or afterwards. The seer is usually pretty busy with the WCC. The New York station stockholder, Mr. Cigar Man, answering many memos that most of us have seen. Now, in addition to that, the Latter-day Saints. So please use that international line 224-600-5579. And if the question is legit, you will receive a call back. Unless you call trying to teach, you will just hear that discouraging thousand. Now, for those of you who have maybe missed the beginning of our today's program, you can catch the entire show today at 9:15 p.m., except Fridays. Our program time is repeated after 10:30. Just enter three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. After click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yahuwah. Choose the program that you are late logging into or any previous day that you would like to listen. And another note, during our normal broadcast practice, we are also simultaneously transmitting information on Caltalk. You can log in by your phone, tablet, or computer. Just download the Caltalk app. You will be listed under Ethnic Group, African American. Look for Voices of the Trizalites, Tribe.com. The final room will hold comfortably 50 or more listening participants, where Yahuwah's Word will also be working for your Bible education. Online there to answer any of the on the table topics we discussed during our broadcast will be Elder Mr. Tibbs Israel, along with Seer Israel, writing a shot. And during this time, no comments will be taken on the topic or any more than two text questions answered at a time. And the broad talk ends before teaching time. We will continue our teaching on Caltalk. Once again, we're given a reminder. When we're given the scriptures to speak by the seer, be quick to hear, slow to speak, so the words of Yahuwah will flow smoothly. Remembering on this program that we have hundreds of thousands of listeners. They all came to hear the righteous words of Yahuwah and not that of confusion. And we do have a biblical reminder of that fact in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. 33 says, "For Yahuwah is not the author of confusion, but of peace and all churches of the saints." But when we do this, we always keep our scriptures in mind. But when you find those trying to win and bump the gum, they miss all of Yahuwah's words that he said unto them. Because we are rehearsing right back to learn the words of Yahuwah, as he was told in St. John, chapter 14, verse 26. But at this time, so we can start that process, we will turn our program back up to our seer Israel and say, Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
All right, there, hallelujah, Father. So we're definitely going to do our part in the call, a special edition call Thursday evening, part number four of YHDH Israel with an I, supposedly with a Y. Black kings who rule Europe from freedom to slavery in America. From freedom to slavery. How did it happen? Well, maybe we'll find out how that happened by bringing the young lion in, and we're going to meet and greet our young lion. He's going to read some historical books by Lee Cummins and whoever. Historical facts on some historians. So he's going to read. I don't know how much he's going to read. We're going to see what he's going to do. And then we'll bring mothers in and we'll get something going on. But how did Israel fall from being black, beautiful kings who rule Europe from freedom to slavery? How did that happen? I don't know. Let's simply bring our young line in and meet and greet the young line on take number four. And we'll just play it by ear. And we'll see what the Spirit leads the lesson. But we bring the young line in and meet and greet him. Young line, tribe of Yahdad Judah, Brother Micaiah Israel.
Yahuwah bless you there, dear Israel. Oh, see, Roy. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, there, young man. Well, we know you want to bring some history, because this is what we're doing. It's part four, and set the stage for take four. And let's bring Mother in, but Mother be prepared to take a little notes with you. And then we'll get up some Luke 12:12, bring a little history in, and we'll wrap back. Remember, this is Black History Month. I mean, black and beautiful. and beautiful is definitely according to Scripture. And since this month have been deeded to, we got to identify who is these black and beautiful peoples, because we know peoples of color is all over the world. And what we want to do is identify who is these black and beautiful peoples according to the Bible, and get a couple of key names and take notes. With the young line gonna put on the table shortly. Let's see if we bring Mother E in along the way. Hey, Mother E, tribe of Yahweh Judah. Yahweh bless you, see right.
Yahweh bless you, see Israel. And see you, Lord. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, there, Mother E. And we know Mother Z is at the table. Saying, see, listen, let me hear something first. Then I'll be able to give a commentary or whatever Almighty put on me at the time of life. Mother E. Israel. Excellent. So whoever that behind the keyboard putting all these kidbits in there, and that's a great thing. That's why we know the foxtail hair been lit and the curtain hair went up. And Mother E. Israel was there in grand style. And Brother Makai Israel in grand style. And Elder. And the international line said, let me know one thing. We on the right track. So we're behind the keypad and putting it together. Keep up the good work. All right, young line. Tribe of Yahweh Judah. Let's see what Luke chapter 12, verse 12 say. What does it say there, young line?
All right, the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse number 12, verse 12 reads, for the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you are to say.
Yeah, and I believe that, young lion. And what we're going to do, we're going to lean on that, and we're going to pass the flow to you, and you're going to set the table on black history, on black and beautiful month, February, whatever they call this month. And we're going to hear you put some history out there on Black History Month. And what we're going to try to do is piggyback off of whatever you put on the table. Nothing rehearsed. We're just going to see which way it goes after you take the lead and take four and let the national audience all know where you can also tune in and hear the broadcast. Take your time there, young line. You got about close to
15
or 20 minutes, but nothing but you. You
on the
clock,
come on. All right. Well, we're gonna read a few things out of the start off reading something about the Negro rulers of Scotland in the British Isles by Dr. John L. Johnson. And we're gonna see what the racket state. And we're gonna turn the page to number 5. Matter of fact, before we go to page 5, we want to go to page number 81. We'll just get a little background check. We're going to read page 81 and 81 states. The Episcopalian Moorish King James the Sixth, the first Stuart, was the son of Henry and Mary Stuart, whose bloodline stretched all the way back to the Pictish Scottish King Kenneth the Nigger. So they called King James the Sixth, which was King James the Sixth of Scotland, and King James the First of England. They called him a Moorish because the word Moorish means black, and the word Stuart means black, and they let us know that he comes from a Pictish Scottish King Kenneth the Nigger. Everybody knows that the word nigger represents the dark race. It says he became king of Scotland in A.D. 1567 to 1625. Following the death of his mother, Mary of Scots, and was chosen by his cousin Elizabeth of England to succeed her. The colored king was the first to unite the British Isles in Scotland, which then became Great Britain. His name is the most well-known of all European kings, since he authorized the King James Version of the Bible and named it after himself. It says his 6 feet, dark skinned and big nosed wife, Anne of Denmark, who praised her darkness and the beauty of being black, became the mother of 7 children, King James VI and the first, and wife of Anne are the ninth great grandparents. Well, you know, that's a little spot right there. And I'm gonna go back and get an account of King James bloodline. I'm gonna go back to page number 5. Page number 5, it reads, the first dynasty of Scotland was called the Alpine Dynasty, ruled by the Picts, who were described to be a short, pygmoid, dark-skinned people. Their first ruler of the Alpine Dynasty was the Moors, Kenneth MacAlpine, A.D. 843 to 858. The Scottish archaeologist David McWright stressed that during the 10th century, Alpine, the father of Kenneth MacAlpine, was a half-black Pict and half-black Scot, whose son Kenneth was the first to merge the two foremost branches of the black and Scot. Kenneth MacAlpine was also called Nigger Val de Boer. MacAlpine descended Kenneth, the Nigger. Daboo, the same as Duff or Duffy, is the Gaelic name for black or nigger. It is historically known to be a nigger whose royal Negro Moorish, which Moorish means black, blood continued to rule Scotland up to James VI and the first, who became the first black Scottish king of England. King Kenneth the Nigger descended David I, bestowed the title steward upon Walter Fitzalan, for services rendered Christian descent, a title inherited by his descendants. Walter Stewart, 6th, a descendant of Walter Fitzalan, Walter Stewart I, married Kenneth the Nigger, blood relative, Princess Majora, daughter of King Robert I, who gave birth to Robert II, the first Stuart King of Scotland. All right. I just got done reading the Negro Ruler of Scotland in the British Isles. And I'm going to read some more historical facts and history. The things that had taken place, come to find out that King James comes from a long line of black and beauty. I want to add something to that about King James. We'll get some records going on here. Once we get some records going on, we're going to pick up the Negro question, part number 6. And since we know King James came from a long line of black and beauty, and his mother and the women in the family, they loved their dark skin, said it was beautiful, we're going to read some historical facts coming out of the Negro Question Part 6 out of the 13 Black Colonies by Lee Cummings. We're going to get some information from here. It says, page 20, it reads, King James VI, Stuart of Scotland and England, the Highlands. It reads, King James had his last name written on his portrait, Jacob, which after translation means Israel, and he self styled himself the king of the, it says Hebrews here, he says king of the Israelites. The Hebrews, which is a polluted word for the Israelites, history book of Genesis. Jacob wrote as an eyewitness that he wrestled with the angel and that the angel changed his name to Israel. So we come to find out that King James considered himself an Israelite. We're going to add something else to that. We're going to get an eyewitness from someone that he saw in his 5 sons, and all those who brainwashed Israelites loved this guy so much. Benjamin Franklin. We're going to go over to the page 60, and we're going to see what did Benjamin Franklin have to say about the Israelites. On page 60, this is what Benjamin Franklin said. Why should the Palatine Moors, black, be suffered to swarm into our settlement? They would never adopt our customs any more than they can obtain our complexion. All of Africa, Asia, and America are swarthy black. Russia, Italy, Spain, France, Sweden, and Germany are black. The principal whites are made up of the Saxons and the English. The principal whites are made up of the white Saxons and the English. The Scots, Welsh, and Irish are not Saxons, are not white Saxons or English. When Benjamin Franklin writes this essay in 1751, the black German king, George II, is sitting on the throne of England. So we come to find out that we still had brothers and sisters that were sitting on the throne during the course of time that was black. And so we come to find out. But we also want to add something else to it because let's see how this goes because I heard some yesterday and we're going to talk about a little something about some history. But we want to see what else was added to the history over there to the people that was living in the land of Scotland, Wales, in the land of Irish, in the land of Britain. We're going to read something in page 32. We're going to add some history to this about how their attire looked. In page 32, chapter number 3, it was something that was written. It says, fringes in Scotland and Ireland. On page 32, it reads, if you know anything about the Hebrew, polluted word for the Israelites of the Bible, you already know that they place fringes on their garments as a reminder to keep the law and the statutes of their Yahuwah. If you take a close look at the document that these Scottish elders are holding, you should see that they are full of fringes. They are holding the oath of Abrah, which we will examine closely in the upcoming pages. If you want to go look at that, you can pull up the Lee Cummings book, The Negro Question Part Number 6, The 13 Black Colonies by Lee Cummings on page 32. That's in chapter 3. And you'll see that Lee Cummings is holding up. You'll see that he's showing a picture of two black men holding up some fringes in the air. That's what you'll get the opportunity to see. All right? So we're also going to add a little bit something else to that. I'm going to go to this, where can I pull this out? It's another part that was mentioned about us, about our fathers. And on page, I thought I marked that page. Okay, here we go. Speaking about fringes. All right. If you go to page 97, you'll see Geronimo wearing fringes on his garment. If you want to read some more about the fringes, we're going to touch on inside of the history about our fathers was wearing fringes in the course over here in the so-called Americas, the 10 Northern Tribes. It says in page 98, it says, the government-sponsored school system, a system that is designed to steer your mind towards that definition of the truth. There are two organisms that the government uses to maintain the darkness in the Negro mind. An unchallenged educational system, and two, the self-taught ministers in the black church. They steal your eyes to see what they want you to see, and what you are about to see is the proof in the pudding. I want you to look at the Indians, the so-called Indians, which is a 10 Northern Tribes, girl to the right of Geronimo, and notice the fringes on the bottom of her garment. There is only one people on earth who ever wore fringes on their garments, and that is Israel. I don't know what tribe these Indians are from, but I am certain that they are Israel. So if you go back and you look at page 98 and 99, if you ever pull up the book or go buy the book, you'll see that he will reveal some photographs of the 10 northern tribes, dark-skinned people, showing them having fringes on the borders of their clothes. And the one that they like to call Geronimo was wearing fringes as well. It says, page 99, I woke up on a Wednesday in July 2016, and while I was looking at the images of the black Indians, which is the 10 northern tribes, so the black 10 northern tribes, who is black and beautiful, I noticed that they had fringes on their garments, and I blushed. I have been looking at these Indians, the 10 northern tribes, the black and beautiful ones, and their fringes since I was a little boy. And it just didn't dawn on me that they were, he has Hebrew Israelites. Hebrew is a polluted word for Israelites. It just goes to show you that Yahuwah the Son was right when he said, you have eyes to see, but you can't see. All right. There's one more thing I'm going to read, and this is the last one I'm going to read right here. I'm going to read page 101. I want to read an encounter by Benjamin Franklin. And they always say Benjamin Franklin never told a lie, which we know that's not true. But the page 101 reads, the top says, America as a land of opportunity, 1751, subject, why increase the sons of Africa in America? Page 9. Benjamin Franklin, Europe is generally full settled with husbandmen, manufacturers, and therefore cannot now much increase in people. America is chiefly occupied by Indians, the 10 northern tribes of Israel, who subsist mostly by hunting. But as the hunter of all men requires the greatest quantity of land from whence to draw his sustenance, the Europeans found America as fully settled as it was, as it well could be by hunting. All Africa is black or tawny. Asia chiefly tawny. America wholly so. The means the original American Indians were a black people. Benjamin Franklin statement validates the untampered artifact that we just saw. The first thing that caught my attention was the phrase that Europeans found America fully settled. He didn't say our fathers because he knew that the black Scots were the first Europeans to settle America. You cannot separate the 13 colonies from this revelatory settlement made by Benjamin Franklin. The charter colonies had been in existence since 1607, and according to Franklin, they were black, along with the indigenous black Indians, which is the 10 northern tribes. Remember, Franklin said, all America is black. Benjamin Franklin makes his comment in 1751, and guess who was in the land with the black Indians, which is the black and beautiful 10 northern tribes of Israel. The black Scots. Benjamin Franklin did not lie, because we know that's a lie. Benjamin Franklin said the only people that were not black were the newcomers, the white, the red, white. The history of the free Negro has disappeared from the written history of the 13 colonies. All right. Over to you, Steve Roy. Hallelujah.
Young Lion, that was excellent. Remember, we're doing a series called Black History Month, and we found out the definition is black is makes a statement about this word called black, and we're going to examine everything because, and You dropped a lot of good points there, young line, and we definitely gonna do some more of that because we got about another week of Black History Month, and we wanna lay all this good stuff out. And matter of fact, can you tell us who all carrying our broadcast as we speak there, young line? We know we on Blog Talk Radio right now, but is anybody else carrying this broadcast there, young line?
Yes, sir, says Real C. Roy. We know we're on Blog Talk Radio, but we also on Pow Talk. You can view us and catch us on Facebook at BOTTY. You also can catch us on YouTube at BOTTY Tribe, YHDH. You can catch us there on Facebook at BOTTY. You can catch us on YouTube at Tribe. BOTTY Tribe, TRIBEYHDH, Yada. And you can also catch us live on Pow Talk and Blog Talk. Over to you, Chris Brer, of Steve Roy. Hallelujah,
Yahweh. All right. All right. So you can catch us on Blog Talk, Pow Talk, you can catch, Blog Talk Radio, Pow Talk Radio, and Facebook, and you can catch us on YouTube. Oh, pretty good there, young line. And that's, remember, we're doing a series about Black History Month. This is Black History Month, and we just want to make sure you clear, you understand the definition of what this word black means according to the Bible, because we let you know it's according to the Bible, and you know, this Black History Month is very exciting to bring out this information for those that got grandbabies and whatever to show that this word black, it means something total different than the Bible. And I want to say, Yahweh be with you there, Brother G. Edwards, Mr. Israel just got off the microphone a little while ago, so you missed him, but you catch him a little bit late in the broadcast. If you stick around there, Brother G. Edwards and Mr. Tibbs Israel will be back on the microphone. Might even do a little reading in 3 minutes. We don't know. But welcome to this international radio broadcast there, Brother G. Edwards. All right, good enough. So, Black History Month. So let's take a look, Mother E. We're going to look at the definition when you read the Bible of the word Black History Month, Mother. By looking at what it says in Songs of Solomon, Mother E, in the Songs of Solomon, because you know we have a statement, they use a statement in the world said, black, get back, you know, brown, stick around, and white is pure, all that good stuff. But we're going to take a look at something that Solomon said, Mother E. What if Solomon says, in Songs of Solomon 1, verse 5. See, this ministry is really for the grandbabies. All the children that come after us, to make sure you clear, you get them on the right track. Sacrifice yourself and get them on the right track. So Solomon is going to make a statement. Before we read about Solomon, hey, Elder, Mr. Tibbs Israel, can you tell me by getting that 1 Kings chapter 2, 1 down to verse 3. Let's find out who Solomon is. So when he started talking, I want to make sure we're clear who Solomon is. Hey, Elder, Mr. Tibbs, Israel, and 1 Kings 2, 1 down to verse 3. Can you help those see out there, Elder? Come on.
Okay, I think you said 1 Kings chapter 2.
Chapter 2. 1, 2, and 3. And give Brother G. Edwards a Yahweh be with you because he said, I'm definitely here to hear some Mr. Tibbs, Israel, so you might want to give him a shout-out because he's all ears. Come on now, Elder.
Well, once again, Yahweh bless you, Seer Israel, and also bless Brother G. Edwards. It's been a long time hearing from him, And I think that you should make those ears a little bigger, Mr. G. Edwards. Get you an ear full of Yakwa and a belly full. But anyway, looking at 1 Kings chapter 2, reading verses 1 to verse number 2. 1 says, "Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, 2, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. 3, and keep the charge of the Yahuwah, thy Yahuwah, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes of Torah instructions and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whensoever thou turnest thyself."
So we find out each other, and that's why I say information is information highway, you know. So a father will tell his son, David is Solomon's father, that listen, my son, keep the order of things. Keep the order of things, and you'll be all right. So we know soundly that Solomon had a father called David. Now, mother, let's talk about what Solomon says about himself in Songs of Solomon 1, verse 5. Hey, mother, what do Solomon say about himself in Songs of Solomon 1, verse 5?
The book of Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 5, reads, "I am blessed, but comely, O ye daughter of Yahda Judah, as the tent of Kadesh, as the curtain of Solomon."
So he identified himself as what color, mother, did he identify himself?
Not black.
Black. So he identified himself as black. Now let's find out the definition of what the word black means, mother. Now we're going to find out the definition of this word black means by going to the book of Lamentation, chapter 2. Verse 1. Let's find out what this word black means. He said, so he identified himself as black, and he was speaking to the tribe of Judah. So we go on to Lamentation, read past Jeremiah, mother.
Lamentation, chapter
2. 2 verse 1. And Elder Mr. Tales held me Ezekiel 16, 13, down to verse 15. We go and get the definition of this word black. What do it mean, and who are you talking to about being black? Let's see what it says, mother, in Lamentation 2:1, then go right over to Job 30:30. Then go right over to Job 30:30 and read Issachar, born another member of the 12 tribes of Israel from Issachar. What does it say in Lamentation 2:1, mother? Come on.
Lamentation chapter 2, verse 1. How has the Yahuwah covered the daughter of Yahuwah Judah with a cloud in his anger and cast down from heaven unto the earth the beauty of Israel and remembrance of his footstool in the day of his anger?
Mm-hmm. So this black word you just got to read by Solomon. Now, another word was added to Israel was what, mother? What word in Lamentation 2:1 was added to this black? It was another word, and it wasn't black, get back. So let's find out, because we know today they tell you, if you're black, get back. But according to the Bible, what was added to Israel in 2:1 that we all can read? Come on, mother. Come on. Tell us.
Beauty. Beauty.
Hallelujah.
Excellent. So when we see the word black, mother, according to 1, what do we supposed to immediately add to our grandbabies when we call them black? We supposed to say black and what else? Mother. So when we look at them, we supposed to say what, mother? According to
the black and beautiful. Black and beautiful.
Hallelujah as well.
Excellent. That's why you, that's how you supposed to talk to your grandbabies and offspring. Black is beautiful. You got to, you got to read the, let the Bible tell it before the world tell you black means get back. See, the world gonna tell you black means get back, but the Bible gonna tell you black means beautiful. Beautiful. Now we'll get a precept by our elder in Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 13 down to verse 15. Hey, elder, Mr. Tibbs Israel, how about a precept on that? But after mother read Job 30:30. Now, mother, with all that information you got, mother, now go to Job 30:30 and knock it out the park. Job 30:30 and knock it out the park, mother. Come on.
Look at Job chapter 30, verse 30. My skin is black and beautiful upon me, and my bones are burned with heat.
Excellent. You see what old Job say? Job says skin is black and beautiful. See, that's what Job say. By having Lamentation 2:1, because they always got all the black cake is the bad cake and the white cake is the good cake. But when you read the Bible, it's total opposite. Total opposite. Black is beautiful. Now watch the elder going to bring the seer in, and the seer going to do a little talking. In the 16th chapter of Ezekiel 13 down to verse 15. What does it say, our elder?
In the book of Ezekiel, looking at chapter 15, reading verses 13 to 15. 13 says, thus was it thou decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen and silk, and broidered work. Thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil, and thou wast exceedingly beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom. 14. And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through thy comeliness, which I had put upon thee, saith the Yahweh. 15. But thou didst
hold on there,
thy own beauty.
Well, hey, elder. Hey, elder, Mr. Tibbs, hold on for a minute. For education, for the national audience, but you read verse 13, and what word would you put in there? According to what we already got on the table, what word would you put in 13? What word is missing in verse 13 that needs to be added to that according to Songs of Solomon and Lamentations? So come back to verse 13, and let's see exactly what word you're going to put in there that Ezekiel is, or he sent to the children of Israel to bring them up and remind them of some good stuff. So now, come back to 13, and whatever word is absent from 13, we want to see over here to add it in there, with knowing what you got back here in Songs of Solomon and Lamentation 2:1. So now let's take care of verse 13 in grand style, and the young lion gonna be all ears listening. Come on.
Verse number 13. Thus was it thou decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen and silk, and broidered work. Thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil, and thou wast exceedingly black and beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom.
Hallelujah. Give us some more, Elder.
14.
That's excellent.
And thy,
14.
And thy renown went forth among the heathen nation for thy black beauty, for it was perfect through thy comeliness, which I had put upon thee, saith the Yahuwah. 15. But thou didn't...
Hold on, Adam. Kind of ran through the word. You didn't kind of marinate in the word real good. But who put this black and beautiful on the children of Israel? Who did this? You mean somebody is the author behind this? I mean, you made it so plain, Elder. Let's go back and read that verse again, because we find out now this color that we got, it's come from above. But he said, I'm the one that did this. So look at that verse real carefully. Let's see if we marinate in that verse. And let's see if we season it out real good. Who made us black and beautiful? Let's see who made it. Well, read that verse again, Elder. Take your time on it and just... Take your time
all
and
catch right.
It out real good. Come on.
Hallelujah. Wow. And we'll read it and try to emphasize it. 14. And thy renown went forth among the heathen nations for thy black beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness, which I had put on thee, saith the Yahuwah.
Now, Elder, that's a big verse. You mean the color that we got on us, black and beauty and black and beautiful, you mean somebody is behind this? Who's behind this color that we got there? Yes, Elder.
Well, the Yahuwah. He had put it up.
According to that verse. Well, according to that verse,
Yahuwah.
Elder, we're going to stop and precept. We're going to precept that verse. But according to that verse, who behind this black and beautiful people called the children of Israel? Who behind it according to that verse right there?
It says, I, Yahuwah, put it on them.
Now, don't you think that's a good message to tell when we go to these public schools and we send them among all these young people? You remember you were sitting in a great big meeting when one of the big dignitaries says the name is not the correct name, and the young kid says, yes, it is. I pull up, it is. Don't you know that message right there has been just so great to put to them young kids that was in that big old institution that you was teaching at, them know that black skin, that the Almighty is the one that put it on you after they read it, and he the one put it, and guess what? He made a comparison to that black and beautiful skin, young lion. He made a comparison to that black and beautiful skin. And let's see what kind of comparison he made in the fourth chapter of Lamentation. Now, he made a comparison to black and beautiful skin that he put on the children of Israel, black and beautiful. Then he made a comparison to his skin in the book of Lamentation chapter 4, verse 1. Listen to the young lion bring out the precept of what the elder just got through reading. He going to make a comparison to your black and beautiful skin in Lamentation chapter 4, verse number 2. Listen to this. Come on, young lion, bring it out.
The book of Lamentation, chapter 4, verse number 2. Verse 2 reads, the precious sons of Yadaju comparable to fine gold.
Comparable to fine gold. So when you sit around these students and your grandbabies and your niece, and you have to let them know that so you can't look at that television broadcast and say, well, I want to look like that when you black and beautiful. You say, no. Listen, my child, don't compare yourself to nobody you see walking. But compare yourself to the
That's right.
The gold is in Fort Knox. The only comparison to you is the gold over there in Fort Knox. That's the only thing you compare. The Almighty compared you to.
That's right.
So this is what you have to instill in your babies, because they might come to you and say one day, I won't look like her. Wait a minute. What do you want to look like her for? The Almighty gave you a comparison, what you're supposed to shoot for. You're supposed to shoot for this fine gold, black and beautiful self. See? You have to instill them in, because if the system get a hold to them, they're going to tell you black means get back. And everything bad means black, even according to their dictionaries. But you got to raise your child up to understand, according to the Bible, totally different. And this is why it's so important about the school, banquet hall, and the land, to let our offspring understand, here go your land, you pick your food, here go your banquet hall where you shake them up and shake them down after you learn something from the school. See, we got to sit the presidents for our loved ones to come. And it started with us, six anointed camps, dealing with the Black History Month. So when you see the word black, according to the Bible, it's a beautiful thing, and the only thing you compare it to is fine gold. And once we understand that, we all in good shape. But see, what happened, he told Ezekiel to go tell him all this. But then, by knowing all this at that time, look what the elder getting ready to read in the next verse in 16:16. Now, see, this would happen, and that's why we got to always stay in order. So Ezekiel the seer was sent to them to tell them that they was, you're black, you're beautiful, you compare with your fine gold. But what happened? See, now what happened? We get ready to read what happened. Look at verse, the next verse 16 now, Elder. What happened that we can read? Elder, Mr. Seer of Israel, in Ezekiel 16, verse 16, can you help see out what happened when we knowing all this good stuff and the Seer was sent to tell you all this good stuff, but what happened that we can read? Come on, Elder.
Okay, verse number 16. And all thy garments that thou takest, and deckest thy high places with divers colors, and playest thou harlot thereupon, like the things shall not come, neither shall it be so.
Now back to the 15. So you see, all that what he installed on the children of Israel, then he turned right around and, hey, young lion, give me a precept in the book 5, verse 4 of Isaiah. With all that he installed on them, look what the Almighty says that we can read. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 4, down to verse 7. And we're going to find out who he's talking about. And listen to the young line and bring it out in spirit led through Yahuwah take number 4. Look what he says in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 4 down to verse 7. Young line, bring it out. Come on.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 5, verse number 4. Down to verse number 7. The book of Isaiah, chapter 5, verse number 4 reads, what could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. Verse 5. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the head thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the walls thereof, and it shall be trodden down. Verse 6. And I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned, nor dead, but there shall come up berries and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. Verse 7. For the vineyard of Yahweh of hosts is the family of Israel, the 10 northern tribes, and the man of Yadadut, the southern kingdom, his pleasant plan, and he looked for judgment. But behold, oppression for righteousness, but behold, a cry.
You see that? Now you see how you heard the song. He said, "Look, what can I do? I couldn't have done no more. I gave him the best complexion look that's on the universe. I made him black and beautiful. They was only compared to Bango." He said, "No, it's nothing else I could have done. I could have done no more for the children of Israel." See, like we got old piece of kid. I mean, you do all you can for old piece of kid, but then you won't do right. You see that? You said, what can I do? I can't do no more. And that's what Yahweh said about this black and beautiful people called the children of Israel, all 12 tribes. And he was very happy. He said, "I'm happy. Now, let me show you when he get mad." So now we're going to show you what happened when he get mad. Now, and when he was happy, he said, "It was my coming. I'm happy. When I made you black and beautiful, I was happy." Now, we're going to show you the opposite of happy. Hey, Mother E, what is the opposite of being happy, Mother? Mother E, can you have to see out what is the opposite of being happy? What is the opposite of that?
Sad.
Mad, angry, sad. Now let's find out what do Yahweh do when he mad, angry, or sad. Let's go to the 12th chapter of Numbers there, Mother. We're going to 12th chapter of Numbers. And we'll pick it around by about 3. And we're going to take it down to verse number 6. Then the elder is going to pick it up at 7 and read down to get our point. Let's go and find out when the Almighty is not happy, when he's sad, mad, disgusted at you. Let's see what he do. Now, we see what he do when he happy. He said, "It was my comeliness." Comeliness means my beauty, for my beautiful self, myself. He boasting about himself on my comeliness. Comeliness means black and beautiful. So we're going to find out what's the opposite of being black and beautiful. And let's see how he responds when he's not happy with you. We're going to pick up at 12, verse 3 there, Mother. We're going to read down to verse 6. And Elder, Mr. Tibbs, Israel, going to pick up at 7. And we'll read down until we get our point. Take your time there, Mother E. And Elder going to be coming right behind you in 7. Down a little bit more till we get our point. Come on.
The book of Numbers, chapter 12, verse 3 reads, "Now the man Moses was very meek before all the men which were upon the face of the earth, her folks. And the Yahweh spake suddenly unto Moses, and unto Aaron, and unto Miriam, come out, you three, unto the tabernacle temple of the congregation." And they three came out. Verse 5. "And the Yahweh come down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle temple and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both came forth." Verse 6. "And he said, Hear now my word. If there be a fear among you, I, the Yahweh, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream."
Come on, y'all, Mr. Tibbs. Israel, verse 7. So now so far, let's comment on this, Mother. So right now, what, according to what you read, 3 down to verse number 6, what kind of demeanor do the Almighty have with him to them? What kind of frame of mind is he in right now, Mother? You just got to read from 3 down to verse 6. What kind of frame of mind do the Almighty have on Miriam and Aaron talking to Moses? Help me out there, Mother. What's going on with that verse?
He said that he would make known his word to the seer.
No, but what I want to know, hey, Mother, what kind of frame of mind do we have by what he did in that verse 3 and 4? What kind of frame of mind is the Almighty on that came down in a pillar of a cloud? What is his temperament according to verse number 3 and 4?
Okay. Okay. Because verse 3, he's talking about Moses. And verse 4, he's still talking about Moses. And I don't see what he said. He was angry.
We know that. Hold on, Mother. The young lion going to take a stab at it, verse 3 and 4. Take a stab at it, young lion.
Yahweh came down to the pillar. Yeah, Yahweh came down the pillar of the cloud. Yahweh was angry at Miriam and Aaron, for Moses had a meek spirit.
Well, no, that ain't what I want to hear. According to scripture, I want to know, what did he do to that you can come up with that conclusion? What did he do in verse 3 and 4? That you can make that conclusion, what you're just saying now. According to verse 3 and 4, what did he do that you can come up with that conclusion?
Oh, he told
something
Moses.
He did. Well, hold on, Mother. Okay. Something he did in verse 3 and 4 that you can come up with that conclusion. Something he did that we can read. What did he do according to, I want to pull out the words that's written on what did he do that we can come up with that conclusion? There's a word that I want to hear read.
He told me, he said, come out you three unto the temple of the congregation. And they three came out.
I'm still looking for another word. See, I'm looking for something else.
Oh, he spake suddenly. He spake suddenly.
Word. There you go. That's the word I want.
Suddenly.
Now, there you go. So that's how you come to that conclusion from the tenor of his conversation. He done what again? And what verse?
He spake suddenly.
Excellent. He spoke suddenly unto Moses. You know that, so that's how we know that he was. We come to conclusion, because see, you know how you speak suddenly to your better half.
Mm-hmm.
That is, you really try to get their attention right away. We can come up with that kind of conclusion. He wants their attention away. When you speak suddenly to a person, that means, like you tell a person, you better stop talking to me. So that's suddenly. Now you got their attention. You better stop talking to me. So this is what's going on right now with that mindset. So we know that's the word we're looking for in verse 4. He spoke suddenly to Moses. Now, Elder Mr. Tibbs Israel, what happened since he spoke suddenly to the children of Aaron's brother and sister? What happened in verse 7? Because he got their attention by speaking suddenly to them. So what happened, Elder, in verse 7? Let's read a bit 7 in verse 8.
Okay, verse number 7 and 8. 7 says, my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. 8. With him I will speak. 8. With him I will speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Yahweh shall he behold. Wherefore then were not afraid to speak against my servant Moses.
So according to verse 4, Elder, what's going on? According to verse 4 and verse number 8, can you paint the picture what's going on in verse 4 and 8?
Okay, after they came out.
According to verse 4 and 8.
Okay.
According to verse four and verse number eight,
Yahweh spake suddenly to Moses, showing him that he was angry, and also that he had called the three to him. He called Moses, Aaron, and Mary to the temple of the congregation. Now we get down to verse number 8. He let them know that he speaks to Moses mouth to mouth. And he said that he's going to speak dark speech in similitude of Yahweh. But he also said to let them know that Miriam and Aaron, they been checking Miriam and Aaron, letting them know that you wasn't afraid to speak to Moses the way you have spoken to Moses. So he's letting them know and that what they was doing was wrong.
Excellent. Well, that's good enough, Jesse. We can leave with that. Now, with all that said, now let's get the number one answer. What's going on in verse 9, there, Elder?
Verse number 9. And the anger of the Yahweh was kindled against them, and he departed.
Okay. So now he spoke suddenly to them. Then he laid down the rules and regulation to when Moses is on something, don't question Moses on what he on. And he's very angry at Miriam and Aaron. And what kind of demeanor he got according to verse 9 there, Elder?
Well, it looked like he had kindled anger against them.
According to verse 9.
Angry.
No. According to verse 9, he's what?
He was kindred against them. Fiery hot.
But according to verse 9, what did verse 9 say he was?
The anger of the Yahweh was kindred against them.
Oh.
And he departed.
Oh, so he's very mad right now. Okay, now, I just want to digress for a minute. He's very angry right now. Do we all come with the conclusion on one accord that right now the Almighty is very what? According to verse 9. Right now. So far we know he's very angry. Is that right? Let's go back, young lion, to Ezekiel 16. Let's go back to Ezekiel 16, since this black and beautiful month. Go back to Ezekiel 16, and we're going to look at verse number 14. 16, verse 14. What does it say that young lion? 16, 14.
The book of Ezekiel the seer, chapter 16, picking up at verse number 14. Verse 14 reads, and thy renown went forth among the heathen for your black and beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness, beautiful, which I have put upon you, that's the Yahweh. Yahweh.
Now. Good. Now, what demeanor was they were minding. What demeanor did, when Yahuwah did this, what kind of demeanor do he have when he was putting on the children of Israel and told to seer his plans to tell them, when I was putting you together, it was all about me? And what kind of demeanor, according to verse 14, who gonna take that that's going on right now, when Yahuwah put these people together, what kind of demeanor did he have, according to verse 14?
He had a timeliness demeanor.
Excellent. So when Yahuwah was putting this black and beautiful Israelite together as a nation, he was calmly, beautiful, relaxed, he said, in Isaiah 5:4, I couldn't have done it no better. It's nothing in the universe of my father I could have done no better for these peoples, according to Isaiah 5, verse 4. He said, man, you did. He said, I had you, like I said, decked and laid out. Huh? That's what he's saying. Read the next verse 15.
Verse 15. But you did trust in your own black and beauty and placed the harlot because of your renown and poured out your fornications on everyone that passed by. His it was.
Now, look at that. With all that, imagine when you send your kid to school, you buy him his first tricycle, you've done all you can for him, and all of a sudden, everything you did for him, then he say, well, I took him my tricycle and gave it to the neighbor down the street.
Mm.
All that you did for him, he just take the tricycle and I just gave it to my neighbor. How did that all go? See? So this is what the Almighty is thinking in this case right here. All that I did for you, so he's very disappointed in the children of Israel, to remind them that I made you the best of everything. And I made a statement with you, Mother E, in the 15th chapter of Numbers, verse 15 and 16. And I said something to Moses about you. Hey, Mother, what did he say in 15 and 16? Told Moses to tell the children of Israel what?
Book of Numbers, chapter 15, verse 15, and verse 16.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Numbers, chapter 15, verse 15, read. One order shall be both for you of the congregation and also for the strangers that sojourn with you, and order forever in your generation. As you are, so shall the stranger be before the Yahuwah. 16. One law and one manner shall be for you and for the stranger that sojourn with you.
Now, what that supposed to mean, Mother? What that supposed to mean in 15, 16? What that supposed to mean?
I mean that it's, Yahuwah is one love for Israel and the stranger that's sojourning with him. It's one love.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it's one love. So when you in the mirror, getting yourself all tidied up, what you supposed to be comparing yourself to by being in the mirror? You supposed to compare yourself to what? What you supposed
black
to compare yourself to? To
black
what?
And black
and to what? And what do you compare yourself to that we already read in Lamentation 4, verse 2? Only thing you compare yourself to, call what was written. Help me out, the young lion. What was written in Lamentation 4:2 that you only compare yourself to according to Lamentation 4, verse 2.
Okay.
Fine gold.
Fine gold. That's it. All you compare yourself to is fine gold. So whatever fashion statement that in the world have, you're supposed to compare it no level mind. You put whatever fashion they got on the table, you supposed to pay it no never mind. Like y'all do y'all seer. Pay them no never mind. That's the same thing you supposed to compare the children of Israel to when you look in the mirror. The only comparison you're supposed to compare them to is what kind of gold?
Fine gold.
That's it. So this is what you got to instill in your grandbabies coming up. You got to understand when you look at your grandbaby, you got to tell them before the school system grab them. You are black and beautiful because the Almighty couldn't do no more to you according to Isaiah 5, verse 4. He couldn't have made you look no better than what he did. You see? So this
Hallelujah.
Is the message we have to be able to do in our school system whenever we come before those that look like the description of this Bible. We both need to talk now. This is the time now we got to raise up our generation, but according to the Bible. And this Black History Month is a month that we understand by using the word black. We cannot use it alone. We got to give the definition according to the Bible. So we're clear about that. Now, so we know when Yahweh is happy, he said, I could have done no more, children of Israel. But now we find out that the Almighty is mad. Hell, we find out the Almighty is angry. Let's see how he responds when he's angry at the children of Israel, the black and beautiful, comparable to fine gold children of Israel. But now we find out it's the opposite side of being happy is angry. So now we know he's mad now. And let's see what he do when he get mad. Let's see how he respond to the black and beautiful children of Israel comparable to fine gold. But according to verse 9, Elder, he is angry. Yeah. Can we pull out a verse 9 again? Is that demeanor of the Almighty according to verse 9, Elder, Mr. Tibbs, Israel? According to verse 9, what is we reading here?
We're reading in Lamentations, what chapter?
We're reading the same numbers, chapter 12, verse number 9, on the demeanor of our Maker that told the seer to remind the children of Israel the reason why you look so beautiful, black and beautiful, is because of my comeliness. I'm the one that made that dark, rich soil just as good. As a matter of fact, you get on that old piece of phone and go to and call Walmart. Say, Walmart, do you have any human soil? And they'll say, yeah, we got some. But that's a powerful word you just said. But can you tell me what it looked like? What it looked like? This is the blackest stuff. It's rich in humor. It is black and then black. Oh, yeah? Yes. It's called human soil at Walmart. Ask them what color do it look like. And that's what you came out of. So you see, all this ties in on helping your offspring, because your offspring will be in the mirror trying to look like somebody they seen walk down the street. And you say, no, baby, why you watching somebody walk down the street? The only thing you compare yourself to is Fort Knox fine gold, according to your maker, with your black and beautiful self. See? Now, this is what you got to instill. That's why it's so important to be focused in on land, school, and banquet hall. Because we in bad shape as a people. We make moves according to what they put on the table. because we don't know how to read our Bible. So we find out that Almighty's mad. Is that the best assessment we can make, Elder, according to 12 verse 9 of Numbers?
Okay, in the book of Numbers, chapter 12, looking at verse number 9, and 9 says, "And the anger of the Yahweh was kindled against him, and he departed."
Now, I mean, you know what they mean by the anger was kindled? That means he was so hot for it, if he was sent on anything, he would have burnt it up. He was so hot. Heck, yeah, you seen two pit bulls get locked up, and I don't think you can get them separated. It's some cold ice water. They get so hot and bothered, you can't even tell them, get back. Back up, Lucky. Back up, Robo. Back up. They ain't backing up nothing. The only way they're going to bag up, you got to throw some cold water on them. That's how hot they get. Yahweh hotter than that. Now, let's see what he do. He's so hot now at Miriam and Aaron. He's so hot. And what did he do, Elder, in verse 10?
Verse 10. "And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle. And behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked down upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous." Oh.
What that mean, Elder?
Changed the white. Changed the white.
What?
Okay, changed the white.
And what kind of demeanor do he have according to verse 9?
Well, he was pretty warm. It was smoking hot. So in verse number 10, he turned around and made a...
Have you ever told a person, look at the person and say, you know, I'm going to get you. Sooner or later, I'm going to get you. So the worstest thing he can put on these black and beautiful Israelites is what he put on the black and beautiful Israelites was what? According to verse 10.
Whiteness. Put white on them. White as snow. Israelites hate
them. Hey, that.
Don't like white.
You hear what the man is saying? You hear what the man is saying? You mean the worstest thing the Almighty can put on the children of the 12 tribes of Israel is what? According to verse 10.
White. White. White skin.
Well, we leave that out here. Remember, it's Black History Month, so we leave that just where it's at. So if that's the case, there, Mother E, let's find out what the seer says that we can read in 2 Ezra chapter 2, verse 1, 15, and 6, and 1. 2 Ezra chapter 2, verse 1. 15, 16, and 24. Hey, Mother E, what can we read in second book of Ezra, chapter 2, verse 1, 15, 16? That's good enough. Chapter 2, verse 1, 15, and 16. And y'all lying, have me 24 down to verse 28. Then skip on down to verse 34 through 37. So, Mother, look right at 2 Ezra chapter 2, verse 1, 15, and 16. What did it say that, Mother E?
Okay. 2 Ezra chapter 2, verse 1, 15, 16, and 24.
Yeah, that's good enough. And 24. And young lion, pick up verse 25. Down to 31, then 34 to 37. Yeah, that's pretty good, Mother. Come on. Let's see what we can get out of this.
2 Ezra, chapter 2, verse 1. Thus said the Yahweh, I brought this people out of bondage, and I gave them my commandments by my servant, the seer, whom they would not hear, but despise my house. Verse 15. Mother, embrace your children and bring them up with gladness. Make their feet as fast as a pillar. For I have chosen thee, said the Yahweh, verse 16. And those that be dead will arise up again from their place and bring them out of the grave. For I have known my name in Israel. Verse 12.
Well, hold on, mother. Hold on, mother. I can't take it away. That big chocolate. What he say? You mean is a responsibility on the mother to do what in verse 16? You mean the mother's got a responsibility? What is the responsibility of the mothers again in verse 16?
Okay, in verse 16 it said, and those that be dead will I raise up again from that place and bring them out of their grave, for I have known my name in Israel.
Mm-hmm. Now back up to verse 15. Now back up and see who responsibility this is in verse 15.
Mother, embrace your children and bring them up with gladness. Make their face as fast as a pillar.
With their feet as fast as a pillar.
You mean the mothers have a responsibility in Yahweh to do what, Mother Court 15?
Bring up their children. Embrace your children. Mother, embrace your children. And bring them up.
So all the way these children gonna get out of the condition they in, what role do the mothers have to play? According to verse 15.
Embrace our children. And bring them up with gladness.
And bring them up with gladness. And what'll happen if they do so in verse 16? What'll happen if they raise their children up in gladness? What do the Bible say gonna happen in verse 16?
Okay. Well, I have known my name in Israel, okay? And those that be dead will I raise up again from their place and bring them out of the grave, for I have known my name in Israel.
So you're telling me the responsibility of a mother that's supposed to bring their offsprings up, they got to bring their offsprings up by they have to know what mother? Mother, what do they have to know again according to 15?
They have to embrace their children.
Come out, young man.
Okay.
They got to know what?
Go ahead, young man.
No, they got to know something, mother. It's something they got to know in verse 16, mother. Know what?
The name.
His name. So your responsibility, mothers, to raise up your child, they must know his name. You cannot turn your babies off to those that's not teaching about his name. Mm-hmm. The responsibility of a mother is to teach the babies about his name. Is that what we're reading in verse 16? Is that what we're reading or not?
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
His name. Hallelujah.
So you're supposed to be able to tell the mother. Listen, mother. Is these your babies here? These my babies, but is you taking care of my babies right now? Yes. You know your number one priority to do is to teach my offspring about his name. Is that what we're reading in verse 16?
Hallelujah. That's what we read.
Is that what we're reading?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Because the reason you teach them about the name, young lion, and 16:13 of Psalm. Now, the angel, the Holy Ghost going to tell you why you teach your babies before they even call your name. You teach them about his name for what reason, according to 1:16:13 of the book called Psalm. Why? Let's get a precept of Psalm. Why?
The book of Psalms, chapter 1:16, picking up at verse 13 reads, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Yahweh.
The reason you teach your babies the name, because the name is what?
Salvation.
The cup of salvation.
Hallelujah.
He will get you the cup of salvation.
Hallelujah.
So, you mothers, say one thing, you mothers. Those that is a mother.
Hallelujah.
Or you in high learning institutions. Well, they look up to you. The first thing you must teach your the love your offspring is about his name. By his name, you get salvation. They must know his name.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you read Acts 4:12, that young line, and this is the reason why you got to know his name. Now, Peter, the chief speaker of the nation of Israel, is going to tell you why you got to know. Says in the chief speaker of the nation of Israel, in Acts 4:12. What did it say, that young line?
The book of Acts. Chapter 4, verse 12 reads, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none of the name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
So mothers, you see the great responsibility you got to teach your babies? You got to teach your babies it ain't but one name for salvation. So if you hear any other name than the one name, your offspring would not have salvation.
Mm-hmm.
So you mothers got a great responsibility. When you raising these offspring, if you are a teacher, if you in leadership, you come in contact with these young. I was on the bus and got caught up with this. Children was coming home. You know how they do when the bus driver opens up that door, they come in like game busters and back door. And the bus driver hollers back, say, hey, you ain't paid. You came in on the back door. He said, we ain't paying nothing. You better drive this bus and get up down the road. He said, shoot, let me drive this old bus on down the road. I mean, old Sid was just nervous as I can be. Cause I know one thing, these teenagers, when the field get off them buses, I fall against the wall or fence. That's how nervous they make me. And all I think about these mothers, you mothers haven't taught them nothing. And that's why they're in the condition they in today, because you mothers have not taught the babies nothing. That's why they're all over the place. So that responsibility on you. So that's why we bringing out this Black History Month. You mothers got to take your rightful position according to the Bible. You got to let them hear this. The mother's responsibility is to raise the children in the name. Now we will get the precept and show you why. We're going all the way to the end of the world, young line. Malachi chapter 3:16-18. Now here go why you got to do this. Before they, you learn about some mama and dad and all that. Let me show you why you got to teach the babies the name. Before they even call on your name, we're going to read what the Bible says, why you got to make sure you put your grip on the head about the name. Malachi 3:16-18. Young Lion, bring it out.
The book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 16 down to verse number 18. Verse 16 reads, "Then they that fear the Yahuwah say often one to another, and the Yahuwah hearkened and heard him, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Yahuwah and that thought upon his name." Verse 17, "And they shall be mine, said the Yahuwah of hosts, and that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son that served him." Verse 18, "Then will you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves Yahuwah and him that serves him not."
So, you see that? So that's why the fathers got to be teaching the mothers of his children. What you doing over there with them, baby? Well, I'm showing them that. No, first thing, you make sure they got the name. Because he said when he make up his jewels, they going to be mad. So the first thing mothers got to do is always holler in their ear the name of the one that created everybody. They must know the name. And they got to have it down pat. But that's the responsibility of the mother. And we read, and the angel told Ezekiel, it'll bring them out of the dead state that they in. See? It said by teaching them about the name, it'll bring them out the dead state because the name got responsibility. But it first started with you teaching them about the name. Now, mother, in the book of Titus, mother, so sometimes a lot of women ask me, what my position is? Well, you read your position now. You read your number one position right now. Huh? You read what you supposed to do first. According to Yahuwah, and all we're doing is parakeeting what Yahuwah says. So you want to know what your responsibility is? You reading it right now. If you got a niece, nephew, cousin, and they don't know the name, shame on you. Because that's your number one responsibility. Okay? Now, you're supposed to get that out the way first before you ask, what else I'm supposed to do? You make sure you got that. You got nieces, you got nephews, you got kids. Your first responsibility, according to Yahuwah, to bring them out the dead, is teach them about the four-letter man's name. Now, get that right first. Now you got that out the way. Now, mother, in the book of Titus, mother. See, you got to get the bases out the way first. Then everything will take care of itself. And then we ain't got to be worried about, we sitting there chilling on our young ones out there on these buses in these school systems. You ain't trembling because you ain't taught them right. But if you ain't taught them nothing but how to look and act like somebody else, shame on you. That's why this ministry is so important. We come humble. We're doing the beautiful Black History Month right now. So we know when he happy, what he make you look like, 12 tribes of Israel. And he know when he get mad, what he makes you look like. So we don't found that out in K-4. I mean, we got it in writing. Good. So in the book of Titus, mother, we're looking at Titus. Now, Paul went to Titus. He said, "Titus, hey, is you going to be the man of the hour after I teach you?" He said, "Yeah." "Well, then you listen carefully and do what I tell you to do." That's what he said. In the book of Titus, chapter 2, there, mother, what he says in verse 3 down to verse 7. Take your time there, mother. Let's find out what he says 3 down to verse. No, you're going to read 3 to 8. We'll just right back and let you just knock out 3 down to verse 8. Because the only thing can pull us off is another mother can pull us off two mothers. We're going to Titus chapter 2, verse 3 down to verse 8. Let's see what it says, mother. Hey, mother, eat. Take your time and tell us what that said come out.
Titus chapter 2, verses 3 to 8. Verse 3. And the aged woman, likewise, that they be in behavior as becoming righteousness, not false accusers, not greed, not giving too much wine, teachers of good things. Verse 4. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Verse 5, to be discreet, safe keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of Yahweh be not blasphemed. Verse 6, young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded. Verse 7, in all things, join thyself a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gracious, sincere. Verse 8, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you.
So, Mother, what do we get out of that, Mother, that we read that concern? Because you know when the young mother's going to be coming in to camp 1 through 6, and the young mother's going to come in, they're going to be, we don't know what demeanor they're going to be in. But with that understanding, Mother, what's the first thing we're going to sit them, we're going to sit them down and teach them what, Mother, according to 2:3-8. What do we get out of that to teach them? Want the school, the banquet hall, the land is all in the way. We offer now here they come in now to sit down. So what we gonna teach on, Mother, according to Titus 2:3-8. So what are we gonna be teaching on first?
Okay, in the first place, the aged woman got to be in behavior as being common, righteousness, not false accusers, and not giving too much wine. And then they got the, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husband, and to love their children. Verse 5. And they got the, teaching to be discreet, safe keepers at home, and obedient to their own husband, and that the word of Yahweh be not blasphemed. Okay, and the young men, verse 6, they got young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. And verse 7, doing thyself a pattern of good works. And doctrine, then uncorruptible, gravity, and sincere. And verse 8, they got to have a sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may not be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you.
So, Mother, what you say? That these young mothers that's coming up, they gonna that is a great responsibility. That's a great responsibility, Mother. And I mean, what do you think about that? That Titus 2:3-8. So, what do your thoughts think about that, right there, Mother?
Well, I think that you should teach the young mothers that's coming up, but a lot of times they don't hear you, they go off on you. So sometimes you can't tell them because they don't want to hear.
No, Okay, so you got some don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear. They don't want to hear part of the Bible that they want to hear. They don't want to hear the total package to get the Almighty to intervene. So that's why we call it broadcast. We never know what we're gonna teach. We know this beautiful Black History Month. This is beautiful Black History Month. And we find out that the children of Israel, all 12 tribes had a beautiful black look on them, and Almighty said, I could have done no better because that was my communist. So if anybody got any question about what do the Bible Israelites do and they descendants, now you're clear about something now. Now you should be clear that the children of Israel was of black and beautiful skin, and it was by the Almighty's doing. So now, in tape 4, you should be clear about that. So when we go bumming around with this book and we start seeing things and knowing the meaning of things, we should be no problem. Now, young line, we're going back to what you read earlier in the history book of that historian. We want to come back and look at page 14. Because I was taking notes on you, young line, when you was laying out what you was laying out. See, the seer is a great note taker. I love taking notes. So I was taking notes on what you brought early in the broadcast, and those that came in late. Remember one thing: you just tune in about 9:15, and you can get the part that you missed in the broadcast. It was very important to understand some things that was going to happen to a people on this beautiful Black History Month, K4. So now I'm looking for my book, my notes that I made there. I know it's the 14th chapter, but I made myself a note there, young line. So I made myself a note. So I'm going to show you how you catch something with no problem when you're a great note taker. So, on page 14 of the book called The Negro Question Part 4 by the historian called Lee Cummins, can you help me see out around about, let's pick it up around by verse number where it says, let's bring the Bible in. Let's pick it up where it says the King James Bible. So that's like around about the last 12 lines on page 14. Where it talks about the covenant right there. Can you pick it up right along there? I'm going to get a point out of here, you know what I mean? I want a point. Then what I want to do, I want to finish up on exactly the rapture. I want to take a little bit of this, but I want to lay this on the table on the way. Then I want to go back and look at this rapture, what the Bible talking about. So on page 14 there, young line, pick it up where it says the covenant, the Solomon League covenant. What does it say?
All right. We're going to read Lee Cummins, the Negro Question, part number 4, the missing Negro. On page number 14, it picks up, it says, covenant. Okay, it says, in the original King James Bible, is that what we want?
No, we want the 14, page 14, where it talks about and Solomon League covenant. Solomon League covenant, about less than 15, where it talks about the Bible. That's the three kingdoms. What three kingdoms? The Bible that the three kingdoms. How about that, young man? The Bible. I mean, the Negro Question Part 4 of the Missing Link. Historian Lee Cummins. And I want to look at where it's talking about the Bible. King James Bible. You see what says King James Bible, young man?
Yes, sir.
That's okay, right. bring it up right there. Bring it out where it says the King James Bible.
Okay. an original King James Bible. King James spells his name Ames, I-A-M-E-S.
Now, wow. Wait, hold on. Hold on there, young man. Hold on there, young man. Let's go back and Mr. We on the same page. Now, I'm on page 14, right? Yes. I want to see where it says the covenant and the introduction of the original King James Bible. That the three kingdoms, that's what I want. Down at the bottom there, young man. In the middle. In the middle. You see what says covenant? Let's see. How many lines is it? It's about 14 lines. About 14 lines there. Okay. Are you with me there, young man?
Yeah, but right, but you said you want the missing, the Negro question part four, right?
Yes, sir.
On page 14,
yes, sir.
Right? 14 lines,
yes,
from
on
the top?
Yes, page 14. You see where it says covenant? You see where it says covenant? Take that look.
Yes, sir, I see
it. There's a pinky. You see it says covenant?
Yes, sir.
What does it say about the covenant? What does it say?
Okay. Covenant in the introduction to the original King James Bible. That the three kings.
Yeah.
Britain.
What now? Wait a minute. Wait a minute now. You said the what now?
Covenant
three who?
Introduction to the three kingdoms.
Okay. Now, what is the name of these three kingdoms, the young man?
Britain, Ireland, and Scotland.
Okay, good. Good. What they did?
Were opposed to the Pope and Catholicism.
Ain't that something? For that point, you mean the three kingdoms, whatever these three kingdoms is, they opposed everything the Pope and that Catholicism had on the table. Three kingdoms, they despise what the Pope had on the table around this time of year. Let's start out. So these three kingdoms, what's the name again?
The three kingdoms, Britain, Ireland, and Scotland.
And what they do?
Britain,
Ireland, and Scotland were opposed to the Pope.
And Catholicism.
Very.
It appears that contrary to what you heard, King James was not a Catholic, nor were Ireland, Scotland, and Britain.
Hey, that's so. You mean King James was not, he opposed everything that the Catholic Church, Oh, King James, he opposed everything that, and the Catholics the one that brought in Christianity. So King James opposed Christianity, Christ-like Lord God and Jesus. He opposed that. Is that what we're reading so far?
Hallelujah, Guad, that's what we read. Hallelujah, Guad.
Well, keep reading about old King James again. Go ahead.
All right. It appears that the contrary to what you heard, King James was not a Catholic, nor were Ireland, Scotland, and Britain. I deliberately spell Britain as Britain. The two words mean something important. Get a coincidence and look. Get a concordance and look up the word AIN, A-I-N, suburb of Benjamin, Judah, and Levi, and then use the internet to see what the word Brit means, covenant, in the original.
Hold on. You mean they're telling you, look, get away from just hearing somebody and do some homework. King James, not only King James, but he said Judah, Benjamin, and Levi, they opposed it. what the Catholic Pope had on the table. He said, not all of that. He said, and we had at that time three kingdoms. And we had three kingdoms. It was called Ireland, Scotland, and Britain. So, and we appalled what the Pope had to say. What the Pope had to say, we was all three kingdoms. They owned nothing to do with the Pope. And he says, and he says that we, in the word Brit, Britain means covenant. Now, let's stop it there and find out. Well, who says Britain? You mean the word Britain means covenant? But he told us plainly, mother. But he told us something in 1458. He told us something that came out of Egypt. Moses was telling us something in 2837, mother. Can you help those see out? Something Moses said in the book of Deuteronomy 28:37, mother. What did he say was going to happen?
Deuteronomy 28:37.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what did it say?
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28:37, reads, and thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations, whether the Yahweh shall lead thee.
Okay, so the people that was called Britain, that word to them people is a what kind of word, mother?
Byword.
That's a byword. All them names is a byword. Them words that somebody else gave to you. So the Britain, but they said what the word means, it means the covenant. It means the covenant people. See that? Now, so you see, that's how you learn something on the way of learning something. So they use the word called Great Britain, but now you find out the word Britain means the covenant. The covenant. Now we got to go find out, mother. And 24 verse 10, who was it talking about? See, we always have to paint the picture. So we simply found out that King James, he opposed the Roman Catholic Church. And everything he was over, they opposed it too. And he said everything was over. They had three tribes there called Judah, Benjamin, and Levi. Because, and Simeon, really. So wherever they go, Judah, Benjamin, Levi was there. They was there. Judah, Benjamin, Levi. So how did Judah and Benjamin get there? Well, Judah, Benjamin, Levi. See, that's been covered there. But all of them was on one accord. They didn't want to hear nothing that the Roman Catholic Church had to say. They opposed them. Is that what we're reading so far?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Ain't nobody going to talk back to your fear. Not nobody going to talk back to your fear. So you see, so the name was given to Judah, Benjamin, Levi was Britain. But they said, well, what that word mean? Well, it don't mean a nationality. It means a covenant. A covenant. That's what it means. Oh, okay. That what the word means, the covenant. Let's go back and find what, okay, about this covenant and 34, verse 10, mother. Let's find about this covenant, mother. 34, verse 10 in the book of Exodus. And young lion, pick it up at verse number 27 down 29. So we're going to find out. It says, so the word, when I see the word Britain now in my mind, I see the word called Great Britain. It means covenant. And the covenant was for the people that were there was Judah, Benjamin, and Levi. So while they was covenant peoples. But who was the covenant peoples? Since they opposed the Roman Catholic Church, they opposed Christianity. That's what the Roman Catholic Church is, the head of Christianity. They opposed that. So now we're going to 34, verse 10, Mother. Help the old C out on what it reads.
The book of Exodus, chapter 34, verse 10. And he said, behold, I make a covenant before all the people. I will do marvelous, such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people belong to which thou art.
So he going to make a covenant. Uh-huh. Go ahead. So verse 10 said he going to make a covenant. He said, this covenant I'm going to make, I haven't done it with any other people. Is that what you read, Mother?
Right.
So he going to make a covenant, and he said, as a nation of people, I haven't did this with nobody else. Is that what it said? I mean, y'all help those say out. Is that
Hallelujah.
What it said? 24 verse 10? Is that what it said?
Hallelujah. Well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that was the same. That was the same. Now, skip down to verse 27, 28 then. Let's find out who he made a covenant with that he ever built so with any other people. Who did he do that with? According to what we can read in 27, 28.
You don't want to finish that?
Yeah, go ahead. You finish 10 of them up. That's good enough. You got it. You got enough out of 10, Mother, that we can rest assured. You done your part in grand style. We can go to 27 and 28 by the young line. 27, 28, young line. Who did he make a covenant with that he ever deal so with any other people? And Mother E, have me Amos 3, verse 1 and 2 to get a precept on who he did that too, but make sure you give me a book called Amos 2:11 first. 2:11, then go to 3, verse 1 and 2. After the young lion, bring out who he made the covenant with. That so we see the word Britons or the bricks. It means the covenant. So King James was a covenant, and they call him Britain. He's the first king of Britain, and he had with him Judah, Benjamin, Levi, and Simeon. That's big doctor there. He had Judah, Benjamin, Levi, but this is over in Europe. You mean Judah, Benjamin, Levi, and Simeon was in Europe? Yeah, see, right? You reading? Stalk a document. And they was called Britons, right? Britons mean covenant, right? He said, I'm going to make a covenant with a people that I never did with nobody else. Who are these people? According to 27:28. What did that young lion?
Going over that to the book of Exodus, chapter 27 and 28. Verse 27 reads. And the Yahweh said unto Moses, write you these words. For after the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. Verse 28. And he was there with the Yahweh 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tablet the words of the covenant, the law.
The Ten Commandments. So the Ten Commandments, the law, was given to the children of Israel. So the children of Israel was over there in Europe. They was over there in Japhetic land called Europe. And they opposed it what the Roman Catholic Christianity had to say. And we find out that King James was the first king of Britain. And Britain means the covenant keeper. So King James was an Israelite, a covenant keeper, because he had Judah, Benjamin, and Levi at his command. Judah, Benjamin, and Levi. So King James was a covenant keeper, and he had four tribes there with him that we just read, Judah, Benjamin, Levi, and Simeon. And all of them opposed to Christianity by the Pope. And that we read, that we're reading.
That's what we read. That's what we read. Hallelujah. Well,
okay. Now, Mother getting ready to read what he told the seer, 3, verse 1 and 2. Now, he gonna now read 2:11. Just get all nice and warmed up there, Mother. Read 2:11 just to get warmed up. What does it say in Amos 2:11?
The book of Amos, chapter 2, verse 11. And I raised up of your sons for a field, and of your young men for Nazareth. Is it not even thus, O ye children of Israel, said the Yahweh?
No. So he raised up the children of Israel to be the seers. So you see, so the seers of the Bible is the children of Israel. That's all I'm going to be talking. Tell them, I raised up your sons to be seers. Didn't I do this for you, O children of Israel? Tell them, Amos. Then tell them something else in 3, 1, and 2. What did he say? Tell them, Mother. Amos 3, 1, and 2. What did the children of Israel?
Amos chapter 3, verse 1 and verse 2. Hear this word that the Yahweh has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, verse 2, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities.
So the only one who'll be talking Bible to the children of Israel, according to 3, 1, and 2, is who, Mother? Who will be talking Bible to the children of Israel, according to 3, 1, and 2?
The seer.
No, according to 2, 1, and 2. We're going to read 7 shortly, but we want to make sure who will be talking Bible. Who will be talking Bible, according to 3, 1, and 2?
Children of Israel.
The children of Israel. So children of Israel, that is your job to talk Bible. So your job, the children of Israel, is your job to talk Bible. The children of Israel that you call Great Britain to covenant, they are opposed to Christianity. They are opposed to Christianity. So a Roman Catholic member, the Pope, you don't go be hearing nothing they got to say. King James.
Hallelujah.
Opposed to them, and he had with him Judah, Benjamin, and Levi, and Simeon. And all of them opposed what the Pope had to say with his Christianity and his Jesus Christ life, according to what we just got to read. Yeah. So that was the children of Israel. So King James was a member of the children of Israel. Matter of fact, he was from the tribe of Judah. So King James was from the tribe of Judah, and he had with him as subjects with him Benjamin, Levi, and Simeon, and all of them was on one accord. But we don't find out that he was from the tribe of Judah, but what Judah? One thing they knew, that they're supposed to be something that they knew that they could not do in the book of Judges 2, 1, 2, and 3. See, when you got your record, certain things you know you're not supposed to do.
Yeah.
Young lines in Judges 2, 1, 2, and 3. Something you know according to your records what not to do. Just read me 1 and 2. Judges 2,
okay.
1 and 2. See, once you know your responsibility, like you'll find out, mothers, if you're a mother, if you're an overseer, make sure you got your responsibility down. Got what he said. Have that down pat. Now, if you got that down pat, get that come in contact with, you give them the name and let them know the blessing is in the name. And when the Almighty come back, he say, you're going to be mad. Make sure they know that. But they're going to be thumbed around, and one day aunties take them to Sunday Lord God Jesus place. They're going to say, I ain't going nowhere with no Lord God Jesus at no Sunday. I was raised right. I want to hear about some Yahuwah, and that's it. Sabbath day, sundown Friday, sundown Saturday. That's it. But you got to start young with this. Can't be thumbing all around. You got to start early. That's your responsibility. Make sure you got that out the way first before you look beyond that. Make sure that part out the way, you up on the wheel of the Almighty announcing take number four. Make sure that responsibility out the way. So what we read now?
All right, we're going to Book of Judges, chapter 2, verse 1 and verse number 2. Verse 1 reads, and an angel, ministering spirit of the Yahuwah, came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your father. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. Verse 2. And you shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. You shall throw down their altars of the mind. But you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this?
Oh, so now you see why King James, the Israelite, from the tribe of Judah, he opposed Christianity. He opposed Christianity, Lord God Jesus. Because he had his manuscript, because he spoke the Semitic language, and he also spoke Latin language too, and Greek. He spoke all that. Opposed his death. Because he had the manuscript says, make no leagues with the inhabitants of anywhere. That means in your brain. But he also says their mother Eve. In the book of Isaiah 65:15, backed up with the young lion in Zechariah chapter 8, verse 13, 16, 22, 23. Look what he says in 65, verse 15 of Isaiah. Help me out there, mother Eve. Isaiah 65, verse 15.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 65, verse 15. Isaiah 65. Book of Isaiah, chapter 65. The book of Isaiah, chapter 65, verse 15. And you shall leave your name for a curse unto my children. For the Yahuwah shall slay thee and call his servants by another name.
So the seer told the children of Israel, 700 B.C., is you're going to leave your name, and you know what? You're going to respond to a curse name. Remember, the children of Israel was called a covenant keeper. They were never called Britons. That other people gave them their name. If you ask them what that word means, they'll say, oh, that means a covenant people. But why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me Britain means a covenant? Why you got me thinking there's a place called a Great Britain and them the covenant-keeping people? See, they're not going to tell you until you corner them like you corner a like a cat, get a rat out there in an open field and seven-sided head and corn him where he already days, that's when he talk right. He ain't gonna tell you what Great Britain means. That means the great peoples of the covenant, the children of Israel. And that's who King James was. See, now you got some together because you finally had with him Judah, Benjamin, Levi, and Simeon. And we know the Israelites couldn't make a covenant with nobody else, so all Judah, Benjamin, Levi was listening to a covenant-keeping man, King James. Proper name is Jacob. He's called James. Proper name is Jacob. His name was Jacob Israel. He even got his signature. He wrote down was Jacob Israel. They wrote down James Stewart. You did it, James Stewart. He wrote down no James Stewart. Stewart only means black, white, country. You see that? That's all Stewart means. You see what he do? I mean, you can catch him all day long. Just let him open the mouth up and just go get busy on him. Now, people, Vietnam, he don't know. Well, I don't know what color King James. King James is the one. No. King James prophesied in 348. They're gonna paint First Maccabee. They're gonna paint the likeness of themselves. They took your record just whitewashed. All you do is first find out what is his name. Could have carried his name with him everywhere they go. His name wasn't James. His name was Jacob. And he signed his name Jacob Israel, tribe of Judah. But what tribe of Judah? Maybe the moral lesson. I don't know. What we read?
We're going over there to the book of Zechariah, chapter 8, verse 13, 16, 22, and 23. The book of Zechariah, chapter 8,
listen to this.
Verse 13, read.
Go ahead, listen to this. What?
And it shall come to pass that as you were a curse among the 17 nations, O family of Yada Judah, the southern kingdom, and the family of Israel, the 10 northern tribes, so will I save you, and you shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hand be strong. Verse 16.
Ain't that the, hold on, man, young man. Wait a minute. You mean you was cursed? You mean we can read where you coming up out of it? That should give you hope. Six of northern camp. Don't you know by what you bring to the table now, one day they're going to wake up and understand that you got these cursed names on you. You want to put Israel at the end of your name, and you'll be called by a cursed name. And what cursed name is that, Mother, in the 1126? What I want, 1126, tell me out there, young man. 26, verse 11, what I want. What name makes you a curse in the book of Acts? 11:26, Mother. What name makes you a curse? He said, you know, you children of Israel, you're going to be upon a cursed name. What name is that? But he said, some way you're going to wake up and understand that you're not this, and you're going to make a judgment. Okay? So in 11 chapter verse 26, Mother, can you help those say, Mother? I'm going to ask you again. What name you going to oppose and denounce it? In the 11th chapter, verse 26, what name are you going to oppose and you going to denounce it? As soon as you wake up and find out who you really are, what name is that? 11:26 of Acts. What is that, Mother?
Acts chapter 11, verse 26. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church, the congregation of Israel, and taught much people. And the disciples of the followers were called Christians first in Antioch.
Oh! So what then you will denounce is the church and Christianity. He said, sooner or later, you're going to denounce that and take that curse off from under you. Long as you call your worship place a church, you are upon a Catholicism, Christianity, and Lord God and Jesus and the church, and call Christian, sooner or later, you're going to remove that curse from up under your head. When you call yourself, you know you Israel, the children of Israel.
Right.
If they say where you're going, I'm going to a church, you're going to drop that word called church. Because church means the 17th chapter of the book of Numbers is the children of Israel. He said you're going to stop calling yourself a Christian. You're going to stop doing that Christian thing and that Lord God and Jesus. And then you're going to remove the curse out of money. But long as you carry them battles by being the church, a Christian, you got the curse over your head. But we read what he told the seer, one day you're going to remove it. You will stop being called a curse. We read over there in the book of Deuteronomy 28:37, you're going to leave your name for a curse, a byword and a proverb. The children of Israel, they never called themselves Britons. But when 449 A.D. came, when the Catholic Pope started coming into the area, you know, the white man and white woman, they gave you that name, Britons. And what that word mean, Britons? Oh, that mean the covenant keepers. Well, why are you? Well, see, if you call them the covenant keepers, I can read the Bible and show they're children of Israel. But as long as I'm calling them Britons, there's no foundation by calling them no Britons. See that? Well, that's what you see. So you get so much out of 3-hour broadcast, you don't know where you're going. But I'll tell you one thing, the best part of the broadcast is bring Mother Z on and let her dress this mask in the audience for whatever the Almighty put on her. Well, I see you saying we mute Ella. He do talking for this broadcast. Okay, I got you. I know you're going to do something. See, the bottom line, once you understand the Black History Month means black and beautiful children of Israel, something that the Almighty put on you and said it looks good to him. And he said the only thing you compare yourself to is Lamentation 4:2, is the gold that's in Fort Knox. So now, if you do anything contrary to that, according to Numbers 15:15-16, you make yourself breaking the covenant. So if you try to look like them, act like them, walk like them, talk like them, you lose. Even if you go and start putting blonde in your hair, you lose. See? All that you lose. That's what you learned out of the 6 anointed camps. So Mother Z, you come on in and address this national audience, Mother. Whatever Almighty put on you to tell them. You got a comment for them, fine. It's up to you. You on the clock, Mother E. Yaqua beat you there, see you right here. Mother Z. Hey, Mother Z, Yaqua beat you, see you right here.
Yahweh bless and keep you, seer Israel of royal seed. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah.
I'm going back and read some more about in the book of Second Samuel, chapter 22. Reading about when David delivered David from his enemy, and I'm going to start reading. I've read a lot of it. I'm going to start reading the verse 19. They prevailed. They provoked me in the day of my calamity, but the Yahweh was my star. Verse 20. He brought me forth also into he brought me forth also into a level place. He delivered
Roger.
He brought me forth also in a larger place. He delivered me because his delight in me. He delighted in me. Verse 21. The Yahweh rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the calamity of my hands, clumpy of my hands, have he wait a minute. Verse 21. The Yahweh rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my my hand has he recompensed me, verse 22, for I have kept the way of the Yahweh and have not
wickedly departed
from my Yahweh. Verse 23, for all his judgment was before me, and as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. Verse 24, I was also upright before him and had kept myself from my iniquity, from sin. Verse 25, therefore the Yahweh has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his eyesight. Verse 26, with the mercy you will show thyself merciful, and will the upright man you will show thyself upright. Verse 27, with thy purge will show thyself pure, and with thy faultiness you will show thyself
unsolvable.
Verse 28, and the afflicted people thus will say, but their eyes is upon the hungry, that you may bring them down. Verse 29, for you are my lamb, O Yahweh, and the Yahweh will lighten my darkness. Verse 30, for by you I have run through a trestle, by my Yahweh I have leaped over a wall. Verse 31, as for Yahweh, his ways is perfect. The words of the Yahweh is true. He is a rebuke to all them that trust him. Verse 32, and I'm stopping here. Well, who is Yahweh's servant? The Yahweh, and who is a rock servant? Self Abba Yahweh. Okay, I'm going to read verse 43. Yahweh is my strength and my power, and he maketh my way perfect. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. That's great. Hey, one thing about it. Well, we're here for one reason, one reason only. We're not here to feed our flesh. It's to help you understand it's time for you to step up to the plate. And anybody that's under you or in your supervision, get busy, and thus says Yahweh, to get your blessing. You're not going to get your blessing unless you follow what the manuscript says in tape number 4. Now, Mother. Hey, Mother E. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24, verse 39 through 41. Let's take a look at something real quick. in Matthew 24:39-41. Let's see what that say, Mother.
Matthew 24:39. And know not until the flood come and took them all away, go shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Verse 40. Then shall two be in the field.
Mm-hmm.
The one shall be taken and the other left. 41. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken and the other left.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So we find out that one gonna be taken, one gonna be, two women gonna be grinding at the mill, one gonna be taken, and the other one gonna be left. Let's go to Luke chapter 17, verse 34 down, verse 36, and a closing statement, Mother. Let's go to Luke 17:34-36. So this, so here, now here goes, preachers, they take you there and get your rapture. He said, you might be driving the car. No one will be driving, and the other will be a passenger. The driver going to be taken, and you going to be left. See, that,
hallelujah.
That means you raptured away. Luke 17:34-36, Mother, come on.
Okay. Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, verse 34 to 36. I tell you, in that night, there shall be two men in one bed.
Mm-hmm.
The one shall be taken and the other shall be left. 35. Two women shall be grounded together. The one shall be taken and the other left.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 36. Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left.
Mm-hmm. All right. So what that mean, Mother, in closing statement, Amos, now you read me 3 verse 7 now. Amos 3 verse 7, what that mean in a closing statement. So what you just got through reading, what do that mean in Amos 3 verse 7?
Oh, Amos 3 verse 7. You want me to read that?
That's what
you do. Yep. Let me go back there. Amos 3 verse 7. Look at this. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Book of Amos, chapter 3, verse 7. Surely the Yahweh will do nothing, but he revealed his secret unto his servant.
So if you
want to
know about this one taking and one left, where are you supposed to go get the answer from, Mother, according to 3 verse 7?
The fear.
Closing statement. Catch you in class at 7:30 on the broadcast, Mother. Closing statement, come on.
Thank you, praising Yahweh, for this class. Thank you, praising Yahweh, for the fear. And thank you, praising Yahweh, to be in the class. And I just thank Yahweh for the class. Hallelujah, hallelujah,
hallelujah,
hallelujah,
hallelujah,
hallelujah. So we found out that you won't know about the rapture by one taking and one left. Let's see, can it be broke down here online? We're going. They say if you won't know what's going on about the rapture, go back to the field. Already got the table. Since one's gonna be taking and one left. And there's two driving and one taking and one left, right? We're going to second book of Ezra, 12:34 there, young man, what it say? Second book of Ezra, 12:34.
Okay, we're going over to the book of Second, book of Ezra, chapter 12. We're going to pick it up at verse number 34. The book of Second Ezra, chapter 12, verse 34.
Read verse 33, make it sound good. The book of Second Ezra, chapter 12, verse 33 and 34, 33 read. For he shall set them before him alive and just, and shall rebuke them, correct them. Verse 34. For the rest of my people shall be delivered with mercy. Those that have been preserved upon my board, and he shall make them joyful until the coming of the day of judgment, whereof I have spoken unto you from the beginning.
He said, the one that's in my borders, let's go to the 13th chapter, look at verse 47 and 48. We're in the 13th chapter. Same book, 2nd Ezra 13, 47, 48.
Okay. We're going to book of 2nd Ezra, chapter 13, verse 47 and verse number 48. The book of 2nd Ezra, chapter 13, verse 47 reads, the highest Yahuwah shall stay the springs of the streams again, that they may go through. Therefore shall you the multitude with peace. Verse 48. But those that be left behind of your people are they that are found within my board. Verse
48. Yeah. So the one that's going to be left behind, he's going to find a what? So which one you want to be? You want to be taken or you want to be left behind? He said one's going to be taken and one's going to be left behind. The one's going to be left behind, I'm going to find him in my border. But what about the one that's going to be taken? Taken, see, Christianity said, that means you'll be raptured away. Well, let's find out where you, when he take you, where you're going to. And Matthew 25, verse 30 and 46. Let's find out where. So if you want to be taken, I want to be raptured away. I want to be taken. I want the old Lord come and just take me away. Okay, good. Let's see where he's going to take you to. Matthew 25, verse 30 and 46.
The book of Matthew, chapter 25, verse 30 and verse 36. The book of Matthew,
46.
Chapter 46, I mean.
30 and 46.
Yeah. Right. The book of Matthew, chapter 25, verse 30 and 46. Verse 30 reads, and cast you, the unprofitable servant, into outer darkness. Outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Verse 46. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal.
He said, so the one they're going to be taking, where they going to? Where the one going to be taking? Where they going? They taking where?
These shall go away into everlasting punishment.
Let's go to Matthew 22:13. So if you want to be taken away, raptured away, so now you're getting an idea of where you're going to. So you want to be left on earth, because you're taken away. In Matthew 22:13, what it say?
Book of Matthew, chapter 22, verse number 13 reads. Then said the king to the servant, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
So that ain't too good to be taken away, because wherever you take him to, you'll be weeping and gnashing your teeth. That's what he's saying. So the one that's going to be taken away in the rapture, you're going to be where a place that where you're going to be weeping and gnashing teeth. Let's see what he says in Mark chapter 9, verse 4-3, down to verse 50. Let's get a little bit more on that. Then we're going to find out exactly where you're going to if you be taken. I mean, raptured away. Mark 9, 43 down to verse 50. Bring it.
All right. We're going over to the book of Mark, chapter 9, verse 43 down to verse number 50.
The book of Mark, chapter 9, verse 43 down to verse number 50. Verse 43, read. And if your hand offend you, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Verse 44, where their worm dies not, and the fire is not quenched. Verse 45, and if your foot offend you, cut it off. It is better for you to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Verse 46, where their worm dies not, and the fire is not quenched. Verse 47, and if there be eye offended you, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter into the kingdom of Yahuwah with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Verse 48, where their worm dies not, and the fire is not quenched. Verse 49, for everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Verse 50, salt is good, but if the salt have lost his saltiness, wherewith will you season it? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace one with another.
Mm-hmm. Now go back to 2 Ezra 13, verse 24, and make it plain. Just make it real plain. See, remember, if you want to know about the Bible, about what you supposed to be doing, then follow the Bible rules and regulations. So you want to be raptured away. So now you're saying, where are you going if you're going to be raptured away? You're going to be taken to somebody. Now look what he says to the seer again in 2 Ezra 13, verse 24. Listen to this, what he said to those seers.
13, verse 24. 24 reads, know this therefore, that they which be left behind are more blessed than they that be dead.
Ain't that something? You hear the man saying? He said, a blessing when you left behind. So the last thing you won't be is taken, because if you're taken, you're going to the fire. So You see what Christianity did? That's a morphine drip. Christianity got you leaving here, going up, up, and away. No, you're going to the fire. If you're taken, you're going to the fire. If you blessed, you are left. Read it again. Make it plain.
All right.
Read one more time.
The book of 2 Ezra, chapter 13.
13:24. Listen good.
The book of 2 Ezra, chapter 13, verse 24. Verse 24 reads.
Well, make it. Hold on, young line. Make it 20. Hold on, young line. Make it 22 down to verse 24. Let's let it marinate in real good. Pick with verse 22.
All right. The book of 2 Ezra, chapter 13, verse 22 down to 24. Verse 22 reads, whereas you have spoken of them that are left behind, this is the interpretation. 23. He that shall endure the peril in that time has kept himself. They that be fallen into danger are such as have worked and faith towards the Almighty Yahuwah. Verse 24. Know this therefore, that they which be left behind are more blessed than they that be dead.
Ain't that something? And who was this dead in the book of Baruch 3, 1, 2, and 3? who's he talking about just being dead? I mean, you're dead because you don't know that the rapture means if you're taken away, you're going to the fire. But if you left, you're not going to the fire. So who is he talking about just dead with this information? Dead with it. Who are you talking about? Baruch 3, 1, 2, 3.
The book of Baruch. The book of Baruch. Chapter 3, verse 1, 2, and verse number 3. Verse 1 reads, O Yahuwah, Almighty, Yahuwah of Israel, the soul in anger, the troubled spirit cries unto you. Verse 2, Hear, O Yahuwah, have mercy, for you are merciful, and have pity upon us, because we have sinned before you. Verse 3, For you endure forever, and we perish utterly. Verse 4, O Yahuwah, Almighty, you, Yahuwah of Israel, hear now the prayers of the dead Israelites and of their children,
dead Israelites and the children, because the parents won't teach them nothing. Dead Israelites. Christianity will make you have a morphine drip. Don't you know if you're taken away that you're going to the fire, you're going to be left? Now, in the 37th chapter, the young lion of Ezekiel, so what got to happen? That's why this broadcast is so important. In the 37th chapter, that got to be happening for this day of Israelite. You know, 12 tribes of Israel is dead. They got to get in order. We're going to find out about this dead Israelite that think if he's taken, you're going to the fire. But if he left, you're blessed. That we just got to read. So the 37th chapter there, young lion, can you have to see how what it said in the 37th chapter and pick it up at verse number 11. 11 down to verse 13. Listen good. 11 and 13. 37, 11 down to 13.
All right. We're going over to the book of Ezekiel the seer. Chapter 37, verse 11 down to verse number 13. Verse 11 reads, Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole family of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dry, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our part. Verse 12. Therefore, prophesy and say unto them, Thus says the Yahuwah, Yahuwah, Behold, my people, I will open your grave and cause you to come up out of your grave and bring you into the land of Israel. Verse 13. And you shall know that I am the Yahuwah when I have opened your grave, O my people, and brought you up out of your grave.
Hey, that's something. And that will be called a broadcast to bring you out of his grave. Do you know you've been paying this preacher all this money and he's telling you if you take it, you're going to the fire? You think you're not going up. Yeah, you're going 66:24 in the closing statement. Isaiah 66:24. Now, if you take it, this is where the seers say you're going to be at in Isaiah 66:24. Oh, I want the Lord to come take me away. Lord God, Jesus, take me away. Okay, here you go. He'll suck you away. Now, where are you? Isaiah 66:24 in the closing statement of that young lion. Come on.
All right. We're going over there to the book of Isaiah, chapter 66, verse number 24. The book of Isaiah, chapter 66, verse 24 reads, And they shall go forth and look upon the carcass of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh.
If you be taken, you going to the lake of fire on earth. You ain't going up and away for that. You're going to be taken to the lake of fire, the big gulf, and that where you're going to be at, where we can go forward and watch you and your preacher burning in that fire because he want to be taken. Taken where? To the fire. Catch you tomorrow at 7:30. Back on at 7:30 tomorrow. Young man, is all yours to the close. Come on.
Thank you, Yahuwah, for another blessing.